Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Amar Aleph. We are six lines from the top, right at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Yizkor Adam Payalim B'Shabbos. One may not hire workers, laborers on Shabbos. Rashi says, because of the Pasuk, Mim Tzechevtzecha V'Daber Dover. Not only must one refrain from doing malacha, he must also keep away from personal business activities, hiring workers, and those types of activities. It says the Mishnah, you can't hire them, V'lo Yo'imar Adam L'Chaveri, just as you can't hire them yourself, you can instruct your friend to hire them for you. V'lo Yo'imar Adam L'Chaveri, Lizkor Lo Yipayalim. Continues the Mishnah, Ein Machshichin Al HaTchum. One may not prepare himself on Shabbos to do this type of effort, for instance, to be Machshich Al HaTchum, to go out to the edge of the boundary. One may not walk more than 2,000 Amma from his place of residence. That's the Tchum Shabbos. So if one would like to hire a worker who lives far beyond, he cannot prepare himself by going to the end of the Tchum, waiting it out until nightfall for the sake of going and hiring his laborer right after Shabbos. Ve'in machshichin al ha-tchum, one may not be machshich. Machshich is a lashon of chashech, of darkness. He can't wait it out at the end of the Tchum until darkness. Lizkor lo yipayalim, for the sake of going to hire the workers. Ulahavi peiros, or to bring fruit. So if that's the purpose of his waiting out the end of the Tchum there, he can't do that on Shabbos. Aval machshichu lishmer. But he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to go wait at the end of the Tchum until nightfall, if the purpose here is merely lishmer, to be available right after Shabbos, to go out and safeguard, to wash, to guard his fruit, which is not essentially any malacha involved in that, who may be pierced by yodoy, and incidentally, he can go bring some fruit as well, since his ikar machshava, his ikar intent and plan was not for that purpose. His machshava was to go safeguard, to do shmira. So once he does that, he can go out and already bring his fruit along as well. Klal Omer Abashol, Abashol set down a rule in this matter. Kol shani zakai b'mirasai. Any time that I'm allowed to discuss this topic, I can go ahead and discuss it with my friend. I can go ahead and instruct my friend or a non-Jew to do this, get involved in this endeavor after Shabbos. So if that's a topic that discussion is allowed, likewise, I'm allowed to go ahead and wait out at the end of the Tchum until after Shabbos in order to complete this task as well. Let's see Rashi inside here, beginning from three lines from the top. Masnisen lo yisko adam poyalim, a person may not hire workers, d'chsiv mimtzei cheftzecha, or may not pursue his own wants, his endeavors, which appear to be similar to weekday endeavors. So hiring a worker on Shabbos is not allowed. The Gemara asks, well, isn't this obvious? If you can't do it yourself, certainly you can't ask somebody else to do it for you. Kiven dehu aser, since he's not allowed to do it, chaver nami aser, his friend as well, cannot do it. Dehu yisru erlu, because he's a yid. V'ashol chay iver, mishum lefnei iver l'sitim michshol. So Rashi points out that not only can't your friend do it, because it's an iser, but you can't even ask your friend to do it for you, because the person who's sending him to do it is actually transgressing the Isser in front of a blind man. Don't place a stumble block. You can't bring about somebody's Avera as well. On Shabbos, to get close to the end of the Tchum, and to wait it out until nightfall, so that he is very close to the location of those laborers, a lapardis, or to his orchard, lovely payers to bring his fruit. Anything which one may not actually do on Shabbos, he cannot wait out at the end of the Tchum to be available to complete that task as well. But he can do that of lotzis, so he's very close to be able to leave lishma peroisav, lotzis, lishma peroisav, to go out and to safeguard his fruit. This is something which technically can be done on Shabbos. Lishmei peroisav, safeguarding one's fruit, is not a malacha. If theoretically they would have been within the boundaries, there would be no concern. So this activity, this endeavor, this effort of Shmiras Peris essentially is not an isser, it's not a malacha. And therefore, preparing for the sake of safeguarding fruit is mutar on Shabbos. Or maybe peiros biyadoi. Once he's out there, he's allowed to bring back some fruit. Since his initial ikar intent and purpose and plan was not for the sake, so therefore he's allowed to do that. Klal omer avashol. Noisen hayi klal b'davar zeh. He would set down a rule. Lahosef dvarim achirim koyotzibay, to add more things which are similar. Ukamim mefarish l'asuyimay. The Gemara will explain exactly what was avashol's point in establishing this rule for us. So what was the rule? Kol shani zakeh b'merosei. Anything which I have privilege, I'm able to speak about shani rashi lo'imer l'chaveri oy l'nochil b'shabbos lasis l'matzir shabbos. Any topic which I'm allowed to discuss with my friend, instruct my friend or a non-Jew, so that they should do it on Matzah Shabbos. So anything which I can discuss on Shabbos itself, Rasha Yani Lahashcholov. Likewise, I can go ahead and prepare for it on Shabbos. I can stay at the end of the Tchum to wait it out until nightfall and proceed with that effort. So we learned the importance of Dibur on Shabbos. Not only effort, activity, Malacha is off limits, but even words, even speech, even discussion, instruction, or even preparation on Shabbos for the sake of involving myself in this endeavor, waiting it out at the end of the boundary, so I'm available to pursue this, would be Asr on Shabbos. Now there's a question here. What about just the fact that he's preparing on Shabbos for the weekdays? So let's say it's not a malach activity. It's not considered to be technically forbidden on Shabbos, just safeguarding one's fruit. So the Mishnah says he can prepare for it. He can wait it out at the end of the Tchum, so he's available to go out and watch his fruit. But aside from the fact that the actual activity might be problematic, the fact is he's preparing on Shabbos for weekdays. And we learned earlier in the Rabbanu, one may not prepare on Shabbos for weekdays. It seems to be that this is not really a concern, since it's not something which is obviously being done for the hachana, for the preparation of the weekdays. He's taking a walk to the end of the Tchum. He's not announcing his intentions. It's not something which is clear and evident that it's being done for that purpose. Therefore, the concern of hachana, of preparation from Shabbos to weekday, does not apply here. So only if it's actually something, if the actual effort, the endeavor, is something which cannot be done on Shabbos, then he cannot prepare for it on Shabbos as well. But otherwise, there's no concern. Continues the Gemara. Maishnahu, maishnah chaveri. So the Mishnah began, you can't hire a worker, nor can you instruct your friend to do it for you. Why would I think otherwise? What is the difference between himself or his friend? As Rashi pointed out, just as he can't do it, his friend can't either. And you shouldn't ask him to do it for you, or because you're causing him to do something also. Amar Papa Chaver Nachri. He was speaking about a Chaver, a Gentile. So he's his friend, but he's non-Jewish, and therefore, although he can't do it, but I would think perhaps he can ask his friend, his Gentile friend, to do it for him. Maskeflor of Ashi. So Ravashi asked, why would I think that this is Mutter? Amir L'Nachri Shvus. We know elsewhere that the Chacham did not allow a person to instruct a guy to do something for him, something which he himself can't do. So certainly he can't ask a Nachri to hire workers for him. Even if you say that we're speaking about his Jewish friend, what is the novelty, what is the Chiddush in our Mishnah that he can't ask him to do it for him? The Chiddush of the Mishnah is as follows. The Mishnah is stressing to us, he cannot tell his friend, you know what, please go out and hire laborers for me. So if he explicitly tells it to him, he can't do. But we infer from the Mishnah idiok, only if he specifically instructs him and verbalizes it. But he can tell it to him in a way which it's implicit. Shall we see Shatamad Imid Erev? Shall we see if tonight you're going to be present with me? And everybody knows the point and purpose here is to hire him for work. So since he's not explicitly stating it, he's not verbalizing it, then there's no concern. So the Mishnah, by adding that clause, you can't tell your friend to hire for you. The Mishnah is telling us, if it's explicit, if it's clear wording, then it's a problem. But if it's something merely implicit, it's something which is merely a connotation from the words that he's using, shall we see if you're going to be here at night? Meaning, would you like to work for me? Would you like to do a job for me? That's mutter. Because as we're going to learn soon, that The issa here is pertaining to words, the verbalization. You must rest from malacha words, from non-Shabbos words, from business discussions. It's the wording itself. It's not necessarily the results of his word that is problematic. It is the wording itself, discussion, the verbalization. Therefore, if it's done in a way which is merely implicit, but he's not explicitly wording it and verbalizing it, it's mutter. Our Mishnah follows the view of Rabbi Shulman Karcha, differentiates between actual speech and something which is merely inferred from his conversation. The sign is one to a person should not tell his friend, Hanira, let's see, shall we see if you're going to be present with me at night? Meaning, I would like to hire you, but I can't say it. So you understand, we both understand what the point is. That's the Shita Tanakama, that's Mutter. Rabbi Shulman Karcha Omer. So according to the Tanakhama, sorry, he can't. He cannot even do it in a way where he's not verbalizing it. He can't even say that. Shall we see whether you're going to be here at night? According to Tanakhama, we don't differentiate between actual verbalization and something which is merely inferred and understood. Rabbi Shulman Karcha Omer. Yes, we draw that distinction. Shall we see whether you're going to be here with me at night? So according to Rabbi Shua, it's only actual verbalization, which is problematic, and indeed, our Mishnah follows this approach. Amar Rabba Barachana or Yechana Halacha, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. V'amar Rabba Barachana or Yechana, my time, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. What is the reason for this distinction? Why don't we view the results as the main factor? If he understands, if they both understand the point and purpose of their conversation is to have him hired, how could that be done on Shabbos? Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, is the Pasuk in Yeshaya, which teaches us not only actual malachis, the 39 malachis, are forbidden on Shabbos, but one must refrain from engaging in all types of efforts and endeavors, which are non-Shabbos endeavors, business endeavors. We discussed dressing differently, walking differently, even mode of speech is meant to be discernible on Shabbos, meant to be different than a weekday. From pursuing one's wants and desires of a dabedover and speaking as such. So we learn from here, dibur asr, only actual words, discussions are asr. Hirur mutter. Hirur means contemplation, thoughts. That's mutter. So since this type of engagement, this type of conversation is merely regarded as hirur, because he's not verbalizing the actual activity, the actual hiring of his laborer, it's merely inferred from his words, that goes into the category of hirur, contemplation, and it's mutter. Continues the Gemara. Rami lei Rav Acha Barav Huna l'Rava. So he asked Rava the following question. Mi amar Rabbi Yochanan dibur asa hirur mutter? Is that the case? That Rabbi Yochanan, so we just learned the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that there's a difference between dibur, which is asra on Shabbos, and hirur, which is mutter on Shabbos. Alma hirur, apparently contemplation and thought, lav kidibur domi, is not equated, is not tantamount to actual speaking of words. Ve'amar Rabba Bar Bachana Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabba Bar Bachana tell us the name of Rabbi Yochanan himself that even sometimes we find hirur is problematic? Bechal mokim mutar laharur chutz mibeis amerchatz umbeis akisei. A person may be maharur bechal mokim in any place. A person can contemplate words of divrei Torah wherever he is, except for an unclean place, chutz mibeis amerchatz, a bathhouse umbeis akisei. A bathroom. So apparently, even thinking words of Torah must be, a person must hold back from thinking. In these locations, apparently even thoughts are regarded as speaking. Says the Gemara, Shani Hasam. There it's different. The Ba'inan, because we require, when it comes to Divrei Torah, we require something special. V'hoyeh machanecha kadosh. The Pasuk specifically tells a Yid, you make sure that your machna, your encampment, your residence is kaddish, is holy. But like in this case, we don't have that because he's sitting in an unclean place in the Beis HaMerchatz. Now Rashi explains that we learn the pasuk as follows. The pasuk is telling a Yisrael, a Yid, make sure that your area is kaddish. Why? Says Rashi, Mishum the Yisrael maharer and tamer of divrei Torah, because Yisrael are generally thinking words of Torah. And that is the reason, the underlying reason for this restriction. Make sure that your encampment, your place is kaddish, because you're thinking divrei Torah. Apparently Torah is restrictive even when it comes to thoughts of divrei Torah. However, However, when it comes to dinim of Shabbos, for instance, we don't have that additional restriction. Only words are limited and not thoughts. Says the Gemara, one second, here as well, when it comes to Divrei Torah, the Pasuk uses a term of Dibur, Hachanami Ksiv, V'lo Yirah, B'chayav Az Davar. So when it comes to words of Divrei Torah, it says, V'lo Yirah, B'chayav Az Davar. So when you speak, Eras Davar, so we learn at Rasha that Davar, when there is Dibur, when there is speech of Torah, of Kedusha, one must make sure that that the erva, the private parts, the erva of a person should not be seen, should not be visible and exposed to you while you're speaking words of Torah. So we see that this halacha, that these halachas are restricted and limited to speech and not simply to contemplation and hearer. So why are we asked to think words of Torah in an unclean place? We seem to have a contradiction. Is it limited to speech or even to hearer? So we have these two psukim, and we must reconcile. Says the Gemara, "Hahu mi bailei the keder of Yehuda." Says the Gemara, in reality, even hear her of the Divrei Torah, one may not do in a makom which is not kaddish. The pasuk of a lo yirah b'cheiras davar, which seems to imply that the halacha is strictly limited to words of a Torah, words of kedusha, that is teaching us a new halacha. Then the place of a erva, place of an exposed, a private part, that is a new iser. One cannot discuss words when he is opposite a erva. And that is indeed limited to words of Torah. Since generally it's a clean place. It's not a Beis HaKiseh, it's not a Beis HaMerchetz. So the iser here is a new type of iser. In this context, only Dibur is us. Says the Gemara, "Humi boyle that pasuk of a leirah b'chayav as davar is coming to teach us the Rav Yehuda. The Amar Rav Yehuda akum aram an unclothed, undressed guy also likras krishma kenegda. You may not read krishma opposite him because he's reading opposite the erva. So this is the new halacha that we learn from the second pasuk that opposite the erva, one cannot engage in words of Torah, and indeed this is limited to expressing it in word form." Says him, why discuss Akum? Mayer Yakum, why discuss the Gentile? I feel Yisrael Nami. This halacha applies even to Yisrael. So why does Rabbi Yehuda specifically mention a Gentile? Loi mikbay ka'amar. He's coming to teach us a chiddush. Needless to say. Loi mikbay Yisrael. It's needless to say that a Yisrael would have such a restriction. Opposite the erva of Yisrael, the Asur, that would be Asur. Aval Akum, perhaps when it comes to a non-Jew, given the chsibbe, since the Torah, the Pasuk, relates to him as follows in the following pasuk: Asher besar chamoyrim besaram, the flesh of chamoyrim are their flesh. Eimar shapirdami. Perhaps I would think it's okay to read krishma opposite the erva of a guy, since it's not reckoned as a erva kamash malon. So he teaches us yes that even opposite a guy there is a restriction of speaking words of Torah and words of krishma. Says the Gemara eimar chinami. Perhaps. That indeed is true. There's no restriction, no concern when reading krishma opposite the erva of a akum. Says the Gemara, the Torah says, regarding noyach, ve'ervas aviyam loyros, his children didn't see the erva of their father. So he was noyach, he was still prior to the development, the establishment of Klal Yisrael. So apparently even a ben noyach carries this restriction and his erva is considered to be legally defined as an erva. And one must refrain from reading words of krishma opposite that erva. Continues the Gemara, getting back to the halacha of what one may do and not do on Shabbos regarding discussion and thoughts of these activities, of these endeavors of hiring workers, etc. So we said, hearer is mutar and dibur is asur. V'dibur mi asur? Is that the case that words, speaking, conversing, these matters is asur on Shabbos, v'har of chizda? They both said mitzvah, calculations of mitzvah calculations mutal chashv b'Shabbos. One may engage in that on Shabbos. V'amar b'lezer poiskim tzedakah l'aniyim b'Shabbos. One may pledge tzedakah for aniyim on Shabbos. Apparently, even verbalizing these matters, these topics on Shabbos is mutar. V'amar b'yakibar idi, amar v'yechanan mefakchen pikuach nefesh. One may go ahead and involve himself in these efforts of pikuach nefesh, saving lives, and pikuach rabim, and matters of a public benefit, b'Shabbos. Uvaholchen lo batik nesiyos, one may go to the shuls of hakeach aliske rabim b'Shabbos to endeavor himself in these public matters on Shabbos. V'amar shmo b'nachmeinu av yoichanon, hoichan lo tartiyos, ulekar kasayos, ulebasal kois, all these types of conventions and gatherings. One may go to these areas where the authorities are present, lo vakeach aliske rabim b'Shabbos, to involve himself in the efforts of benefiting public for public affairs on Shabbos. V'tanid ve'ben Menashe, we learned that ve'ben Menashe mishatchen la'tinoikes li'oris b'Shabbos. When we match up for the children, match them up and engage them on Shabbos. V'la'tinoik lamdei sefer, when we go ahead and match up a tutor for the child to teach him. Lamdei sefer, to teach him sefer, lamdei umnas, and to teach him a craft. So to teach him Torah, to teach him a craft. Why don't we go ahead and match up and get involved in all these efforts and these activities? Although it involves speaking and conversing with these types of topics, these non-Shabbos topics. So how can one discuss these things on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, here it's different. Why? On my core, because the pasuk says, "Mimtzei chefzecha v'davedover." One must refrain on Shabbos from pursuing one's own personal matters and speaking of such. Chafotzecha asurim. The pasuk here stipulates chafotzecha. Your personal matters are off limits. Chefzei shemayim mutar, but heavenly spiritual matters, mitzvah activities are mutar. Pikuach nefesh, pikuach rabim, public affairs, likewise. Making shidduchim, teaching your son Torah, or teaching him a craft. These things one may get involved in and exert effort and converse about even on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Amar Avida Mashmol. We have another category of discussion which is mutar on Shabbos, things which are meaningless, worthless. Cheshbonos shel melech. So Rashi learns melech as eitzah. He's simply imparting advice. If a person wants to build this type of building, oh, he needs these amount of workers, this is the expenditures, this is the materials. He's simply having a discussion, it's a topic of conversation without any point and purpose. So that's Cheshbonos shel Melech. These calculations are okay. V'shel ma b'kach, worthless, pointless discussions, all these types of calculations, even though they involve perhaps building and doing malachis, they're simply worthless, that's simply being used, employed as a method, as a topic of conversation, and therefore mutar lachash from b'Shabbos, one may calculate these things on Shabbos. Tani amihochir, we learned likewise in a price, cheshbonos she'amru, calculations regarding past events, v'she'asidin liyos, or regarding events which are going to come, future events, v'she'asidin liyos, also lachashvan, one may calculate these things on Shabbos, shel melech, so this again is the advice, Vishel Mabakach, oh, pointless, worthless discussions, Mutal Lachoshvan, these things, one may calculate them on Shabbos, since they have no meaning, no value, they're simply being used as a subject and topic of conversation. Says the Gemara, is that the case? V'raminu, we learned in a brisa. Choshvan Cheshbon Shein Etzrichim. One may go ahead and calculate all types of things which are totally pointless and unnecessary. But one may not go ahead and calculate calculations which are needed, which have point and value. You can't do that on Shabbos. Ketza, for example. One may go ahead and tell his friend, kach v'kach, pi'alim, this and this amount, so much workers, hoitzesi, or there's a gerser which has iskarti, I have hired, al sodazu, for the sake of dealing with this field. So this is a past event which he's merely discussing without any real purpose in mind. Kach v'kach dinorin, so much money, hoitzesi al dirazu, I have spent on this dira, on this dwelling. So these were my expenditures. So he's simply having a conversation on Shabbos, that he can do. Aval lo yoyma, but he cannot say, aval lo yoyma lo kach v'kach hoitzesi. This much I have already spent, v'kach ani osad lo hoitzi. And this much I am going to spend. So apparently, the Braisa is simply telling us that one may go ahead and tell him, look, this is how much I spent, if there's no real purpose here. So if he's simply discussing it out of a topic of conversation, that's okay. Kach v'kach dinar hayitzeisel dirazu. But he shouldn't tell him something which is still pending. Look, this is how much I spent, this is how much I was going to spend. Because that has purpose. That's going to take place. That's considered to be a topic which is not meant to be discussed on Shabbos. So you seem to have a contradiction, a stira, from this braisa which tells us that he can speak about past events which have no real value or purpose. In contrast, with the previous braisa, let's take a look at the previous braisa at the end of Amar Aleph, the last line which says, Cheshvayne sha'avru v'sha'asidin liyais, past events or future events, asa lo chashvan, those things cannot be calculated. So which way is it? Past events can be discussed or not? Here we see they can't. And on Amud Beis, the Braisa tells us, strictly speaking about past, is mutar. Says the Gemara, now according to you, if you take a closer look at the first Braisa, it's an inherent stira. It seems to be an inherent contradiction within the Braisa itself. Because the Braisa begins that even past calculations cannot be brought up for conversation on Shabbos. But then the Braisa continues and says, well, the Cheshbonos Shalma Bekach, so in the first line of Amud Beis, it says, Shalma Bekach, simply pointless discussions, which seems to include even past events, which are already past, but there's no point and purpose in discussing them. They are Mutar L'Cheshbon B'Shabbos. So the Braisa itself seems to be a self-contradiction. So we must address that first. Again, says the Gemara L'Tamech, according to your Kasha, Kasha L'Chigufa. That first Braisa seems to be inherently Kasha, inherently contradicting each other. Regarding discussion of past calculations, is that mutter or not? Ella, says the Gemara, apparently you must interpret the braisa as follows. It depends on the context. Ha di'ika agra da'gira gabe. Initially, when the braisa forbids discussion, even regarding past calculation, is speaking about that it's not yet finished, it's not a complete deal yet. Di'ika agra, the salary, the wages of the agira, of the worker, gabe, is still by him. He hadn't paid him yet. So he's discussing something which is still outstanding and still pending. And therefore, it's considered to be off limits on Shabbos. As opposed to the next clause of the braisa, which says he can discuss things which is merely pointless, shoma b'kach. That's speaking when he already paid up the wages. Ha, the leka, agra, dagira gabe, that the agra, the salary, the wages of his worker, is no longer in his possession. He already paid him up. In which case, the discussion of the salary, of the calculations, and the amounts are worthless and pointless, are merely being employed as a topic of conversation. So that explains the first braisa. It depends whether it constitutes business, whether it's something which is still pending and outstanding, in which case we view it as a business discussion, as opposed to where it's already a past event, which is merely being employed as a topic of conversation and is not regarded as business and is mutar on Shabbos. Now that explains the second braisa as well. You know why we could discuss past expenditures? Because they're already past. They've been done, they've been paid up, they're not pending and outstanding, therefore they're not considered to be non-Shabbos discussions. He's merely having a pleasant conversation regarding a past event. Continues the Gemara, a machshich and Tanur Rabban. Masa b'chassid echad. There was a story regarding a chassid, an extra pious man. Shenifert soloi peretz b'seich sadeu. So he noticed that there was a breach in the wall around his field. V'nimlach aleh l'goydra. So it was Shabbos. And he's looking at it, he says, you know what? I have to go repair this fence. V'nizke she Shabbosu. Now he reminds himself, it's Shabbos. Why am I thinking Malacha, thoughts on Shabbos? So although he didn't do anything, he didn't even express any words, nevertheless he was machmer in himself, he regarded even thoughts, even hiur, even contemplation of a malacha to be sort of equal to discussion and doing, and therefore he refrained, from ever fixing that fence. So what happened due to his mesiras nefesh and a self-sacrifice, Hashem reciprocated with a nes. V'nasal a nes, a miracle occurred, but also with slav. Slav is this bushy tree and the slough began growing right there to block up the breach. And from this slough, which produces fruit, he had sustenance for himself and for his family. Continues the Gemara. Omar Bidamashmu. Mutur la adam lemel chaveri. A person may go ahead and converse and tell his friend as follows. Lekrach pleni ani holach lamachar. Tomorrow I'm going to be traveling to this and this city. So although we discussed earlier that on Shabbos, words are held in high significance. Words are valued on their own. One cannot converse, discuss, and verbalize things which cannot be done on Shabbos. But he can say, I'm traveling to that city tomorrow. Why? Because technically speaking, travel is not a malacha. Shem yesh bergan haylech. Because although that city is far out of the boundary, out of the tchum, but essentially, it's not a malacha. It's not inevitable that traveling to a distant city is asr, because if there are burganim, Rashi will describe as these, the Gemara in Erevin says, these huts. So if we have these huts situated along the way, which cause the city to be extended along the route, so we view the city as those extending alongside those huts, and that allows walking at a great distance. So theoretically speaking, traveling doesn't involve Isser or Malach on Shabbos. Therefore, he can discuss it and mention it on Shabbos. Let's see Rashi inside here. 10 lines from the top, beginning with the words Shem Yesh Burganim. So theoretically, if there were these Burganim, these huts, which were erected along the road, every 80 amos, every 70 amos, Hoylech Afil B'Shabbos. This would allow him to walk even on Shabbos. Shakol Chashav Kir Achas, because the entire thing is regarded as though it's one city. And we know that one city, regardless of its size, is reckoned like merely 4 amis. Kedamin Be'Ervin, like a Meretz Shem, coming up soon, we're going to learn in Ervin, that entire city has a status of merely 4 amis. 4 amis is a term used for the makam of a person's personal space. So the entire city is compacted. It's considered like merely personal space and is not reckoned as part of the 2,000 amma of the, is not deducted from the boundary, from the distance that one may walk on Shabbos. So these burganen, which are built and extend from the city in this fashion, they stretch the boundary of the city, and the entire area is regarded like a city domain, and one could walk and walk and walk without any restriction. Says Rashi, V'chivan du'udavah she'esh li'heter adei takana. B'Shabbos. Since theoretically, this concept of traveling to a distant city can be accomplished on Shabbos, it's permissible if he would employ this method, mutal amri. So therefore, he can speak about it. Afilu b'makom she'ein shem heter. Even if specifically in this circumstance, the method was not employed, because this is based on the concept discussed earlier that the speech itself is what one must refrain from on Shabbos. It's not the result, it's not the implication and the meaning of the words that he's discussing. A person refrains from doing something forbidden and speaking something forbidden. In this case, the speech itself, the wording, I'm going to travel there, is that something off limits? Is that something forbidden? No. Technically speaking, traveling would be mutter in some circumstance. Therefore, it can speak about it on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Tanan, so let's bring a raya from our Mishnah, whether or not this halacha is true. Tanan, we're going to our Mishnah, Ein machshichin la'tchum lizkar po'alim. So getting back to the concept of machshichin, which means to wait it out until darkness. He can't do that, lizkar po'alim, if the plan is to hire workers of lovey payers and to bring fruit. So let's analyze. Bishleim lizkar po'alim. So you understand regarding hiring workers, the b'shabbos le'matzi agar. Since on Shabbos, that's something which is off-limit, he can't hire workers on Shabbos, so he can't prepare for him on Shabbos as well. That's something which is, it's forbidden, therefore he can't prepare for it as well. El alavi peiros, however, to wait it out until darkness for the sake of bringing peiros, why is that asur? Now, the Mishnah is working with the Gemara is working with a premise that speaking, having a conversation, and preparing for that endeavor, speaking about an endeavor, and preparing, waiting it out at the end of the tchum to accomplish that endeavor, to pursue that effort, are considered to be one and the same. They are in the same category. So something which a person cannot speak about due to the fact that it's a malacha or it's business, etc., he cannot wait it out. He cannot wait till the end of the tchum until Matzah Shabbos comes and pursue that effort. So both things are one and the same, are connected to each other. And that's what we saw in our Mishnah, that the Mishnah equates the two things. So if we learn here in our Gemara that speaking a matter which technically can be accomplished on Shabbos, derech heter, is mutter, likewise preparing for that, waiting it out until darkness, would be mutter. So again, the Mishnah tells us he can't wait it out if the point is to hire workers. He can't do that if the point is to bring produce. So hiring workers, that's something which is completely off limit on Shabbos. What about bringing fruit? Ela lavi peiros. Why is that not allowed? Why can't he wait out until darkness if the point is to bring peiros? Lema, shall we say? Shem yesha mechitzis mevi. Technically speaking, bringing fruits is not inappropriate. It doesn't involve malacha, because if there were mechitzis erected alongside the road there, if we had those partitions, he would be allowed to bring peiros even on Shabbos. So essentially, this activity does not violate Shabbos. So why can't he speak about it? Why can't he go ahead and be machshech al tchum? Go to the end of the tchum, wait it out until nightfall comes for the sake of this endeavor. Says the Gemara Meshkachasla, we're speaking about here, prepares some chuborim. We do find a problem if the fruit are mechubar, still connected to the ground, which would involve a malacha to detach them, and that is what the Mishnah is speaking about. So since that's a malacha which is off limits on Shabbos, we can't discuss it, nor can he prepare for it on Shabbos. V'atanu Rav Oshia, didn't Rav Oshia teach us a machshichin al tchum? Why not prepare at the end of the tchum lavi tevin lakash, to bring tevin, hay, v'kash, straw? So certainly straw would be found to be problematic if it's still connected to the ground and must be uprooted, which involves a malacha. So you cannot prepare for that effort on Shabbos. Elo teven, but hay, which is detached. How can you find that to be problematic? Since it doesn't involve a malacha. Evidently we're speaking about teven, hay, which is spoiled, which is ruined, and not suitable for animal feed, and therefore it's mukta. So he can't prepare to go transport that. He can't go be machshel atchum to bring the tivnasaria, because bringing that would involve an iser of mukta. Toshma, come and listen to the following raya from the upcoming Mishnah. We know that one is not meant to engage in words discussing and describing malacha, but if it is for the sake of mitzvah, Chetzi Shamayim, spiritual matters, that is mutter. The Mishnah tells us also regarding being machshech al tchum, going to the end of the tchum to prepare to pursue these types of things for the sake of mitzvah, that would be mutter. Machshech al tchum lefakech l'skekala, to engage in efforts for procuring things for a kala v'leske a mace, and making effort for the benefit of a mace, that is allowed because that's a mitzvah activity. Al iske kalo meisin. So we make a diuk. We infer from here that he can only prepare if he is engaging in efforts for a kalo or a meis. Al iske kalo meisin. Then that, yeah, that's allowed because that's a mitzvah. Al iske acherloi. But if he's engaging in preparation for these types of activities, which are not for the sake of benefiting a kalo or a meis, it's not for the sake of mitzvah loi, then he cannot do that. Now, what type of efforts is he pursuing? Bishloima acher dum yedek hala mishkachasla. So it's well and understood that the pursuit of this type of activity, acher dum yedek hala, meaning if it's being done for somebody else, which is not for a mitzvah, but that activity resembles this pursuit, this effort of kala, so that can't be done because it's not being done for the sake of a mitzvah. What is an example of an effort, a non-mitzvah effort, which resembles a kala effort? Mishkachas, we find that lemiskalei asa, to cut for himself a asa, which is a hadas, a myrtle. So they used to do this for the kala, to create some sort of canopy for her. So if he's preparing to do it for a mitzvah for a kala, that's allowed. But if it's for a non-mitzvah purpose, then he can't do that. Why? Because cutting off this branch is certainly asur on Shabbos. It's a malacha. Just as he can't do it on Shabbos, he can't prepare for himself for this on Shabbos. So understand why that's off limits. Ela mace, mind you. But the activities and efforts being done for a mace, in which we learn that only if he's preparing for that, it's mutter. But if he's preparing to do the similar type of thing for a non-mace purpose, that'll be off limits. Mind you, what type of activity is he pursuing? Is he going to bring the Arev Tachrichin, the coffin, and the shrouds, the materials that they wrap the mace with? So that's what he's going to get involved in? Ketani, the Mishnah tells us, mace in, aval achaloi. He can only do it if he's doing it for the benefit of a mace, because it's a mitzvah activity. But to prepare oneself to bring these types of items, Aroin or Tachrichin, for a non-mitzvah purpose, then he cannot prepare himself for this on Shabbos. But my, why? Why is this asur? Lema! Why should we say? Shem yesha mechitzis mevi. Essentially, transporting these items, even on Shabbos, doesn't technically entail a malacha. If there are mechitzis and partitions erected along the way, he can bring it. So, since technically it doesn't involve malacha, so why don't we deem it as a permissible act, in which case he can discuss it on Shabbos, and he can prepare himself for this effort on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Meis Nami. Likewise, when it comes to a mace, evidently we're speaking about a malach activity, meshkachas, that we find in Lemiska, Lake Lima, for example. The intent and purpose here is to prepare oneself to engage in a malach activity for a mace, Lemiska, Lake Lima, to cut for him the glima, this garment, to cut the materials needed for the tachrich and the shrouds of the mace, which is certainly a malacha. So being machshich al atchum, for that purpose is mutter, despite the fact that there's a malacha involved, he's preparing himself for a mitzvah, as opposed to doing it for a non-mitzvah purpose, that he cannot, since it is a malacha activity that he's preparing himself for. Continues the Gemara, Aval machshichin, the Mishnah told us that he can go and wait out at the end of the tchum, if it's a non-malacha, a mutter, a permissible activity, for instance, if his purpose is to go wash his fruit. Says the Gemara, how can he do that? How can he go wash his fruit? And the Mishnah tells us he can even go and cut off some fruit and bring it back with him. Even though he had not yet made Havdalah, how can he do malacha prior to Havdalah? V'omer b'lezer ben antignus mushum b'lezer ben Yaakov. So he taught us as follows: Asa lo ilo lo adam sheyasa chafotzav. A person may not engage in his own personal activities and efforts koydem sheyavdul, prior to making Abdullah. So how can this person do this malacha v'chi tema? Perhaps we're speaking about the avdu b'tfila, that he already did Abdullah during the tfila in the bracha of atachoynen. So since he uttered words of separation of Abdullah, that suffices. Va'omar b'damashmol, didn't he teach us that Amadu b'tfilah, despite the fact that he did Abdullah during davening, Tzorach she'yavdala kois, he's required to make a separate Abdullah on this cup of wine. So it's not sufficient to make Abdullah merely during tefillah. V'chi tema, perhaps you'll say, da'avdala kois, that indeed this fellow followed through with a Abdullah on a kois as well, out in the field, prior to engaging in his personal matters. Kois b'sada mi'ika? Is that practical? Is it really reasonable to assume that there was a kois sitting out in the field over there? A kois of wine? Has a more, yeah. Tirgama. So he interpreted Rav Nosson bar Ami, kamei in front of the Rav, in front of Rava. He interpreted and he answered ben agita shanu. The Mishnah is discussing between the wine presses, meaning during the wine, the grape crush season, in which case there is ample wine and grape juice sitting out in the field, and indeed this fellow made Havdalah prior to proceeding with his activities. Amalei Rav Abba Rav Ashi, b'marava amrinan hachi. In the West, in Eretz Yisrael, we would say as follows: Ha'mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. So we would say apparently they would add Baruch. Baruch Hamalda ben Kodesh L'chol. Hashem who separated between Kodesh, which is Shabbos, to weekday, which is Chol. So this was a sufficient statement to make that first, accomplish that first phase of Havdalah, of Avdina, and Sarchin. And this would allow us to do, pursue our matters. And then Rashi points out, they would proceed with a proper Havdalah on a Kodesh. Amar Rashi, Ki Avina Be'Rav Kahana. When I was at the home of Kahana, Ava Omar, he would say, Hamadah Be'Kodesh L'Chol. So he would make the statement, and then that would allow us to engage in Malacha, Mesaltina, and Silti. We would proceed with cutting, chopping wood. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. 14 lines from the bottom. Hamavda ben Kodesh l'choy le'ker ba'alma. So although it's not a proper Havdalah, it's merely a statement of recognition, of respect to Shabbos, l'lavis ha'samelach, to escort the king. So on the way out, we escort the king to show our emotional connection to him. We really would like to have him linger longer, to stay around a bit more. So the point of being alive is to show our respect, our covet for the king. Likewise, making this short-handed Havdalah, this Hamavda ben Kodesh L'chol, is sufficient to accomplish the heker, the accompanying of the king. V'avdin and Tzorchin, we proceed with our matters. V'achakach, and afterwards, we would proceed with a proper Havdalah. Onam avarchan ala kois, bracha gemura, the Havdalah. Rashi adds a point, V'koshken, and certainly the Havdalah b'tfilah. If one made Havdalah during his tefillah, during a mariv, mutalas his trochav, he can proceed with his matters of a chayzer umadal al kais. And then he concludes it with a Havdalah on the kais, umisaltin and silti, chaytun etzim, we would go ahead and chop our wood. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We discussed the importance, significance, and value of words. And we learned that one may not discuss or prepare himself on Shabbos when it pertains to something which he can't do on Shabbos. Business matters, hiring workers, or malachis. He can't discuss those things. He can't converse about them. He can't instruct a non-Jew to do them for him. Likewise, he can't be machshich alof. He can't go out to the end of the tchum, wait it out until nightfall, in order to be available right after Shabbos to pursue those efforts. But one may engage in hearer contemplation and thoughts regarding these types of malachis as long as he's not verbalizing it. Chefzi shemaim, spiritual matters, may be pursued. We learned that meaningless calculations, simply as a form, as a topic of conversation, cheshbon shel mabukach, that's allowed. And the Gemara told us a chiddush. If theoretically this activity can be conducted in a permissible manner, if it doesn't inevitably involve malacha, one may discuss it on Shabbos. Likewise, one can prepare himself on Shabbos to pursue this effort. We learned that even contemplation of Divrei Torah would be usher in an unclean environment, speaking words of Torah, that is usher even in the presence of an erva. But in the presence of erva, one can contemplate words of Torah. We learned the story about the chassid who was extra careful, and he was machmer not to go ahead and fix that fence since he merely applied his mental resources to it on Shabbos. We learned regarding Havdalah that there are two phases. There's the speaking aspect, merely uttering that Hamavda ben Kodesh L'chol, which really allows a person to engage in Malacha. And then he's meant to go ahead and conclude with the second phase of Havdalah al HaKodesh. Rashi points out the point of Havdalah is to show covered recognition and to be Malacha, to accompany the king, Shabbos, on his way out.